Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. You can find us at liveparanormal.com, also at hauntedplayground.com. And, of course, all of our affiliates, including iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Player FM, Blog Talk Radio, and the list goes on and on and on and on for you. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 28-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles and a performing artist. And I come to you live from my home in Southern California every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. This show is about everything in the spiritual and paranormal realm. Anything that you can imagine or put your eyes or ears on, if it happens outside of the box, then it belongs here on Haunted Playground. Whether it's ghosts or life after death, or you think there's a Loch Ness Monster in your above ground swimming pool, it belongs right here on the Haunted Playground show. And every week on the show, I gather beautiful people, wonderful people that I believe are some of the brightest and most beautiful minds in the artistic community, the spiritual community, the paranormal community, and more. My guest today is no stranger to my shows, but I believe she's making her debut on this show for the very first time. She's a wonderfully talented actress who can be seen in many things, including the brand new installment in the Halloween anthology, Halloween Ends, where she is a bit of the true embodiment of evil. Please welcome to the show the wonderful Joanne Barron is here. How are you, my friend? It's wonderful to have you here.
Oh, you're so sweet. I love you said I'm the embodiment of evil. That is great.
She's kind of
love
the embodiment
it.
Of evil, right? I mean, she's kind of awful. And it's so funny because I started watching the film, and you know, you look very different in the film. First of all, I'm a horror film and supernatural film lover, so I'll just say that off the bat. So I started watching the film, and they kind of uglied you up a bit, right? They wanted you to look harsh and mean, and I kept thinking,
yep.
God, this mean lady. I swear, I know this mean lady. She just reminds me of somebody I know. And right about the time when you had the first scene with Jamie Lee Curtis, I was thought to myself, is that Joanne? And then so I actually stayed to watch the credits. And I was like, oh, my God, yes. So what a fun film. What a wonderful installment in the series. And how much fun was that?
You know, you said so many interesting things. I'm tempted to send you, and maybe you have some of these things, but there's a picture of me on the red carpet. And I said hello to Jamie Lee, and she said, oh, no, only the actors can be on the carpet. She wasn't like – she didn't say hello to me because I looked so bizarrely different, and I'm sending you this picture just for the fun of it because I think you would get a kick out of it. But anyway, the deal is that I had a part. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that it was this movie. They don't tell you the names of things. That's a big deal. They don't want to you know that this secret name they're giving you is the name, you know, of Halloween Ends. They don't want anybody to know anything, especially if they haven't cast you.
Oh.
And so I did not know what I was doing. And when I did the part had soft and gentle moments that were the mother says that she won't give the boy a dessert, and they didn't include scenes like her going upstairs with the dessert, quietly tiptoeing in with a kind of, you know, apologetic makeup of it. There were many soft things. There were many scenes that were done soft, tender, vulnerable ways, not just the one sort of shrewish. And then there was a lot of very funny stuff, like just outline, she was being sexy with her husband in the most hysterical way imaginable, just, you know, being sexual about how she's folding his underwear. And then she had a death scene, a fight scene, that was so incredible that if you look at all of the press, it's me in the press with a pillow, it's me in the press with a knife, it's so many multifaceted layers. And this brilliant David Gordon Green genius, just genre-loving, multi-genre-loving director, writer, producer, from Righteous Gemstones to Pineapple Express to horror films to intimate art films like George Washington, everything that he's done in his brilliant innovativeness and his iconoclastic doing what the way he wants, he decided to cut all of the things in my role that made it soft, funny, vulnerable, and even the kill, which was like the wildest kill. And he made it into this force of evil. And then one of the reviews said that when Michael Myers wasn't on, Joanne Barron took his place.
Right? Well, right? Yeah.
Not only ugly in the physicality, and I just sent you a text message of my actual face on the carpet, not because your viewers can see it,
okay,
but you can respond when you look at it, because you will respond as an expressive creative when you look at that compared to what I looked in the movie. And when I looked the way I looked in the movie, I thought, oh, my God, did they intentionally make me look as ugly as possible? And maybe the answer is yes.
Well, I most definitely think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes because they were trying to show people that maybe are not expressive creatives that ugly on the outside is oftentimes a reflection of ugly on the inside, which is
right.
True. You know, if you look
and
at
he wanted it to be
better,
you know, good and evil. And he wanted the justification,
yes,
for the story, which is a spoiler, I guess, to say, but my son's life and his arc, and he may include certain things in the, director's extended stuff that he sends out. I think he used the word director's cut. So I don't want to say it.
Yes.
But there is the most incredible thing I say at the end of my death scene that is so incredibly vulnerable and heartfelt and sad. And because the whole thing was cut out, you don't get that moment. But that moment is particularly powerful because what happens to my son and where this goes. And really, in the end, who kills me? Because you can't tell who's killing me. You cannot.
Right. Right.
So it's just
I think that's all wonderful.
It's wonderful, but
so
it also makes people not know the mentally dimension.
That is true. That is very true. But I think with horror, a lot of times you have to leave things up to the imagination because then the fans go on their sites and come to the conventions and go wild. And speaking of that, you now know that the rest of your life you can go to horror conventions with this character.
I had no idea.
And people will line up to sign autographs. Seriously, it's a side hustle like nothing you've ever imagined. So
you know,
start picking out your Lamborghini.
Someone said that to me. And here's two other wild
things.
I did not know until I read a review, bad girl looking at reviews, because good ones, bad ones, you cry, you applaud. So
I think you should always look.
But I took a peek, and all of a sudden it said Joanne Barron in her second John Carpenter film. And I was like, how could it be a second John Carpenter film? I never did a film. I was in the eyes of Laura Mars. He wrote that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was with Faye Dunaway.
Way above its time, before anybody talked about psychics, right? Being a psychic, I'll now say this: before people really knew what a psychic was, past a gypsy lady in a tent, stereotypical gypsy, not a Roma person, the stereotype of the lady in the tent and the stars and moons, moo-moo.
Yes.
Nobody knew that somebody could have gifts beyond that in the 70s. Laura Mars was the end of the 70s, right?
Yep.
That film was so insightful. And
I did not realize that he wrote that.
Uh-huh.
because I, you know,
yeah,
it was when I was, how many millions of years ago, and I wasn't really thinking of that. It was just very fascinating. It was just very fascinating that some of the reviews, even the reviews that said toxic mothers, Jamie Lee Curtis and Joanne Barron, portraying the real experience that could create like monsters. And they're saying that because I guess they felt like Jamie's character, due to the terrors and horrors of her life, got too overwhelming to her granddaughter in this movie.
Right.
And so
it's kind of interesting. If you watch the earlier ones. Yes. And to her daughter, if you watch the earlier ones. Absolutely. But that happens, right? And that is a real life thing. And we now are learning that oftentimes things that are done to kids as children can affect how they grow up in many, many ways. That's the interesting thing about horror, is that horror is supposed to be about monsters and killers and demons, but the truth is, when you break it down, it's usually about human psychology. I mean, if you read a Stephen King book, it's chock full of, it's like a master class in psychology. And I think that's the beautiful thing about horror, is that you draw people in with the spooks and the scares. But the truth is, what it really is it's forcing humanity to take a stark look at itself, right? And that's one of the things I love the most about it.
I thought Jamie Lee really, you know, was explaining what horror movies do to help you deal with your fears and your pains and giving up control.
Yes, she was, and that too, yeah.
She was explaining it on a very deep level, and I was thinking, I never thought so deeply about this. I never
mm-hmm.
understood this way. I never... You know, and I was surprised, even though I was playing the role and I put tremendous amounts of work into it, and, you know, total passion for working with this genius, David Gordon Green, and total fun with the actors who were so fabulous. And I just never thought deeply enough or clearly enough about these elements before. And even though I've been in horror films before, I was in a movie called Murders with the Tony Todd, you know, who's like, I guess, a horror icon. I played a sweet
yeah.
little neighbor that turns out to be the surprise, surprise, spoiler killer. And I felt like,
become,
you know,
a
little lady.
It's becoming a thing with you, my friend.
Well, this was from a long time ago. And even
right,
when
right.
I got the sides, I did not think it was a horror film. It was from Jason Blum, the great, you know, producer
oh,
of
yeah.
so many things, but he does
everything.
More than horror. So I did, you know, I've
yeah,
seen
he does.
He did that wonderful series with Renee Zellweger. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of things that are not just horror, even though that is a particular amazing, you know, brilliant specialty of his. But I just feel like I had so many experiences and revelations just from start to finish, you know, the audition process, working with Jamie Lee. One of the most extraordinary things was the first scene I did when I arrived at the movie set. The very first scene I did was with Jamie. I didn't know it was the last scene she was shooting ever in the trilogy.
Oh.
And when we got out
oh,
on
wow.
the... Yeah, I had no idea. And when we got out on the veranda, there were hundreds and hundreds of people with cameras, with videos, with shouting, like reporter-type people. And I said to David Gordon Green, is it her birthday? And he said, yes, it's her birthday. And I'm like, Jamie, happy birthday. And then she starts talking, and she goes, well, it's the end of an era. And this is my last scene. And
right.
then I realized it was my first scene on the shoot, and it was her last scene she'd ever shoot. And, of
wow.
course, the scene that you saw with Jamie, that was just a piece of it. And, again,
right.
David Gordon Green would say, do it quiet, do it sad, do it angry, try it this way.
Great.
So, like,
great.
I didn't know when I was going there that the snippet he was going to take from it was sort of this, you know, assaultive kind of thing. So it's just very interesting.
Yeah.
The whole process, it's really wild to me.
It's fascinating, and I think that's across the board with films. But I also think, like I said, with horror, it's designed to button push emotions and evoke emotions, right? So When they get all the scenes shot, they go back and look at them and they think, okay, what's going to make people scream? What's going to make them sad? What's going to make them angry? You know, I worked in movie theaters from the time I was 16 until the time I was 24. And I worked for a theater chain in Orange County where I grew up. And you learned, because I love horror and I saw everything, you learn about the in-theater laugh, right? Now it's different because we're not in theaters anymore, so they've had to design it a little different. But when you're in a theater with all these people and everybody's terrified, they have to find places to throw laughs in. Because if there aren't little tiny snips of funny, then people overload on the horror and it becomes less potent, or they get used to it and it becomes less potent. So every horror film has these little funny zingers that come in for people to all laugh in the theater together and have that shared experience, because, you know, you're in a theater with all these people and they're all terrified. Now, people are still going to theaters, obviously, but now so many people stream at home, like this film streaming right away, right? So they have to find ways, I think, to gear it even a little different towards somebody maybe sitting at home with some friends or maybe sitting at home alone watching it to kind of relieve the pressure, right? It's like tiny earthquakes. It relieves the pressure so the big one doesn't come. Because if horror becomes too horrifying, people stop going. So you have to find a way to scare people just enough, but not so much, right?
I really, you know, thought because of the script, being so multidimensional, and because the way he would try it so many different ways, and because there were so many funny things that I did, just outright funny, I really thought not of it in this conscious way of what would it end up to be. It's a horror film. There are certain elements in horror, you know, stay open to what the possibility might be, that this might not be. You know, he's going to pick and choose what makes the impression. I didn't have a concept of that. And when I went to the screening, I was a little bit, you know, sitting there thinking how much of me is in it and what of me is in it. And I was just completely, even watching it, the first time you see yourself in something this, you know, major, you're sort of sitting there and you're not really fully maybe following it so clearly. It wasn't till the next morning that I woke up and I went, wait a minute. He compared me, ironically, to a woman I starred in a movie with, Piper Laurie. She played my mother in a beautiful film,
right,
called St. Patrick's Day. And actually, the director of that and the writer of that has written and directed my independent feature film about my life story that we're putting together to shoot. But he compared it, the reviewer, to Piper Laurie in Carrie, saying the iconic horror mother. And, of course, to be compared
absolutely
to the... I was like,
I thought the
what?
Same thing.
I was like, what is he talking
Isn't
about?
Isn't that great? And I'll tell you something, and this is just advice from, you know, actor to actor, you should read every review you get your hands on. Because when you go to horror conventions, and I know you will, they're going to ask you about all this stuff. What did you think about being compared to Piper Laurie and Carrie? Because these people, this is their life, right? They soak it up and they love it. And they are the nicest, most wonderful people. And it will be such a beautiful experience for you. And it will lead to other work, because people will love you in this. And somebody else who's doing something will think of
you.
I mean, it's what?
Well, I definitely think that people were. I read an interview by the guy who played my son, Rowan Campbell, who I can't even say enough about what an incredibly lovely, fabulous, just terrific. And the guy who played my husband, like all these people are just like incredible people that I just loved. There was another producer that was like on the set that I just fell in love with. But Rowan said that when he got the part, David Gordon Green said to him, now some people, and maybe many people, are going to not like you because you're doing something that wasn't introduced before in this classic character. portrayal of this iconic, you know, legendary, you know, decades-long story. And people may not all be like, yeah, he switched it up at the last minute. And he said, so you got to prepare yourself. And I thought that was very true because, yes, people would say, I can't believe it. There wasn't enough Michael Myers. And then other reviews would say, how fantastic that you brought something deep and fresh and new and psychological into the whole storyline that made
exactly.
it more intimate. That's how
exactly.
people felt.
Right.
Yeah.
And sets it up for 10 more sequels, which I know everyone says there isn't going to be, but I've heard that before.
Really?
Right. I think it was wonderful because it was something new. And like I was saying earlier, I don't know if I actually said it because we got off on something else, but so reminiscent of the first Friday the 13th film, right, where the whole time you think it's Jason, even though you don't know who Jason is yet, but actually it's the mom, the angry, crazy mom in the first one.
Oh,
it's not really
right.
a spoiler alert because the film's like
right.
over 40 years old, but so it's not really a spoiler alert. But that
right.
lady, that sweet lady, and I can't remember Betsy something. I can't remember her last name. Her career got totally revamped because of the horror convention. So a very dear friend of mine is Adrienne King, who was the girl that survived the first Friday the 13th movie, the star of the first one. And she, you know, did her thing and in New York, and then she came here, she worked, and she did voiceovers and produced, and eventually she and her husband moved to the Pacific Northwest, which is a place that looks a lot like Camp Crystal Lake, and somebody asked her to go to a horror convention, and she did my my last show on the last place I was before I hurt when it first started in 2009, because I had known her before, and somebody said, come to a horror convention. She was like, you got to be crazy. Nobody cares about me. So however many 30 years later, right, she gets there, and there's lines out the door for all.
Oh, my gosh.
Then they started
oh,
buying
her paintings. Oh, that is intense.
Because she had paintings that she had done because she'd always been a fine artist, and photographs she had taken on the set. And this film for her, you know, it was Kevin Bacon's first film. They were all kids. They had a great time together. It was like, really was like a summer camp for all the actors. So she had kept a journal and taken photos. People started asking for copies and buying her paintings. Now she has a whole
wow.
line of Crystal Lake wines. She has an entire wine line based on that movie. And she's
oh
become, she has her own winery. So there's the possibilities because horror fans love. Now there have been, what, 15 Friday the 13th movies since then, but nobody's forgotten about her. And that's the thing that's so cool. Nobody will ever forget this character that you played, even if there's never another Halloween or there are 27 more, because they remember everybody from every film. And when you get a chance, you should go out and feel that love, because there's nothing more beautiful as a performer, right, than to really one-on-one get the love of fans.
Well,
because it's why
as
we're all here.
An artist, which you are and I am, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that you want is to be able to keep working and do different things and have an experience. Mm-hmm. So one of the nicest things was hearing somebody say to me, when I was leaving the little soiree after the premiere, oh, we're going to be looking for parts for you. And, you know, whether that happens or not,
yes.
you know, it's every actor would like to have a job, which is why I think people, not
yes.
just financially but creatively, you know, go on soap operas and other means of continuing employment that keeps them
sure.
engaged in what they love to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And also, like I said, and then there's the love of the fans, right? I mean, isn't one of the most beautiful things about doing a play afterwards when you meet the people who came?
Yeah.
And some of them are so moved by the performance. So to sit in a
yes.
booth for 3 days and have hundreds
yep.
and hundreds of people come and want you to sign autographs and sign pictures and take photos and basically tell you, oh, my God, this mom reminded me of my mom, or this mom made me appreciate my mom because I had a friend's mom who was like this, or, you know what I mean? You
yep.
have just become the stepmother
yep.
to everybody who ever knew a troubled mother, as I think Piper Laurie was, but because there really weren't conventions then, she didn't really know about that amount of love that people had for her in that film.
Well, Well, she's apparently a legend, that the mother is a legend. The way that Carrie was molded and shaped is, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like Lore in the Glass Menagerie. There's this mother
exactly.
who's just controlling and overbearing. But there were things that, you know, I like to think of myself as having some intelligence, you know, and yet when things were written in reviews, they were very thought-provoking to me. When one yeah. review said that I possessed the paranoia and anxiety that represented the reaction to Michael Myers in the town of Haddonfield, that I was sort of representing what had happened to people, that they were no longer, you know, they were living in the shadow
yes.
of dread. And
yes.
I was like,
and wasn't there even a,
well, that's deep.
Yeah. Wasn't there a voiceover in the beginning of the film that says something like,
yes, she said,
the
yes,
town
right.
changed and the people changed.
You're right.
That I thought that's exactly
yes.
who you were. I thought that was and also the way that the character of your son was treated for something he didn't even do.
Yes.
Because people were always looking for the next Michael Myers. They were always
yes.
looking.
And
yes. then what happened, right? A self-fulfilling prophecy. And from an energetic standpoint, because, you know, I always get spiritual and you're very good about always putting up with that. You
oh, no,
things,
I don't have to
right?
put up with
you,
it. We all need it.
Yes.
We all desperately
things,
need
right?
it.
We manifest what we want, what we say. It's why,
yep.
you know, people will tell you, don't say over and over again, I'm never going to work again, the phones never ring, my agent's never going to book me, because you're basically telling universe, I'm never going to work again, the phone's never going to ring, and my agent's never going to book me. It's the
and the universe
thing.
Is
going to
say,
you
know what, you're right.
Yes, right. So if thousands of people are saying there's going to be another killer, Michael Myers is going to come back, and then what happens? You know, so I,
right.
I thought that was there was so much good psychology and good spirituality in that film. Good
you would get a big kick out of
good
this guy. You would get a big kick out of this guy. His name is Paul Brad Logan. He is the screenwriter with David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, these geniuses.
Okay.
And he wrote a book that came out a week ago that is a novel about these characters and their psychology. And he is largely
wow.
the reason of the mother's character. Like the first day I was
oh,
on
wow.
set, I was told this character, it emanates largely from his writing and his experiences and his everything. Yeah. Paul Brad Logan, and he has on Insta, you know, under Hollywood Halloween or his own name, Titan Books released a book that is all about these characters psychologically, and it's a little novelette.
Wow. Fantastic.
And it's really,
yeah.
I know. I mean.
And how wonderful that your character is represented in that, too. I mean, this is just such a beautiful thing for you, for your career. I can't even tell you. I mean, this is just.
Well, I love you saying
that.
Just, and from your mouth to God's
oh,
ears, my next project is
yes.
around the block. That's what I hope for.
Yeah, honey,
something fun,
your next
something great.
Of, yes, your next handful of projects is around the block.
Well,
I mean,
you're verbalizing
you are now
positivity.
A horror icon. Absolutely.
You're so
honey,
awesome.
I just, and also just plain facts. You know, I'm a Connecticut girl. I like the truth.
I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. That's where I was born.
I
was born
in
New
Haven,
Connecticut.
So
where were you born? New Haven?
At Yale. Yeah, Grace New Haven.
My grandfather across the street from Yale was at Taylor Shop.
Wow.
His name was Nat Barron. Nat Barron.
Wow. Wow. How cool is that? Yes, that's where I was born.
Being wow.
Twins. Isn't that strange? Yep. So you
I lived on Bellevue
that,
Avenue.
Wow. We lived in Orange, but I was born in New Haven.
Wow.
Because that's where the doctor was. Isn't that interesting? Well, so you understand Northeast sensibility. So I don't
totally.
Like, you know, blow smoke. I tell the truth, and I'm so happy for you. And so happy also now talking to you, honey, with how you have embraced the fun of being part of this film and embraced all the different things people are saying about the characters and the character, all the characters, but yours specifically, and enjoying that, because that's kind of the, you have to kind of have that fun attitude about horror, because you have to know that, as I said, you're going to be sitting in a convention center somewhere, and somebody's going to come up and say, so in the scene at the dinner table, do you think your character was thinking, you're going to be like, what? That was like 10 jobs ago. Because people watch these films again and again, and they ruminate on them. And probably a lot of the reviews that you've read are by writers for horror publications that are also fans of the genre. So they know what fans want when they write the reviews. They know the fans want to go deep and pick things apart and investigate all the possibilities.
I have been in movies. I've been in TV shows. I've had different jobs my life since I've been quite young.
Sure.
But every time you have a new part of your life and a new experience. So I really do feel like this is a unique, surprising set of experiences I'm having from making the movie the way that it was made, with great creativity,
yeah,
improvisation and collaboration,
yep,
to going to the premiere, to seeing what the movie is, to understanding what the movie is. I mean, literally understanding what it is and how it was made, and myself being educated on the depth of these things. Myself, you know, not just like, oh, you know, this is for people reading a review, but the actor, me and myself, getting objectivity and distance and understanding,
yeah,
what it is I'm really looking at. It's, and
yeah,
what it came to be, and how the collaboration, you know, is different than the single experience, as people will often say, you know, you make a movie, but then when everything comes together, it's a completely different thing than it started. It's not what it started out to be. It's completely different.
Right. Ever.
All of the people,
yeah,
that are editing it, lighting it, cutting it, shooting it, it's different, and it's going to be something maybe even unrecognizable to what you think you started at.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of it, right? I mean, that's, we love theater because it's not that, but we
that's
love
right.
film because it is that.
Yep.
We love theater because we know when we start rehearsing what we're going to get at the end. I mean, not everything because it's creative choices, but we know what the storyline is going to be. But with a film, it's like you shoot 20 films, and then it's why film is an editor and director's medium, right? You shoot 20
That's
films,
so true.
And then somebody decides what the end project's going to be. And then sometimes releases something later and shows you alternate endings, or releases a director's cut where you get 20 extra minutes of footage and more perspective. I mean, it just keeps growing in a million ways, right?
I think when he sends out whatever additional material he chooses to, I think that's going to be a really another next level kind of thing, because I really think it would have been a different movie with added information and with different approaches.
Yes, yes, yeah, and fans will think that too, and fans will rewrite their own fiction about it, right? They'll try to write stories and fill the blanks in with things they think should have been there. I mean, it's really just fascinating how we now know, because of the internet, the love that fans have for films and for television, and the way that they take part in their own creativity surrounding it, right?
It's just
wonderful.
And to think of, you know, all the situations, you know, I did the audition on Zoom, you know, with the director. It's just so many facets of the time that we were going through and the things that were happening that made all the little pieces the way that made them.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
From the audition, you know, from getting the script without the name of the movie on it, so I had no idea it was even, I really did not know it was a horror film.
I think that's great. I think it's great. Is that common now, that when you audition for things, you don't know what it is?
Yep.
Wow.
I imagine the star you know, the highest level person.
Sure.
But if you're
right, 'cause they're
coming in as a second supporting, multi-scene supporting actor, I think it would be common to them. And when I was cast, they repeatedly said, please do not tell anyone you're in the movie because your character is particularly sensitive because it's very, you know, it's a very special, surprising, new spoiler, so you can't tell anyone.
Yes.
So I never told anyone, and I wasn't on IMDb and nothing.
Wow.
When it
really?
Was premiering.
Really? No IMDb either?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. That,
nothing.
Then everything went up. But until then, wow.
I said to the guy who was the executive at Blumhouse, when can I tell anyone I'm in the movie? And he said, after it opens, you can. And
isn't
he said, you can do anything you want after
fantastic.
It opens.
Fantastic.
But it was really weird, you know.
Right?
Yep.
Well, yeah, but that's the anticipation. They want people to just be a blank canvas until the film premieres and they see it.
But people have very strong opinions and emotions about what they wanted the story to be because they've been living with this story for decades and how they wanted it to end up. So you can't really please everybody when you're this revolutionary. I mean, David Gordon Green decided to do something that was his vision, that he thought it made it deeper and more interesting, and I guess more unexpected.
Is this his first time working on a Halloween film?
No.
Was he new to the...
He did the one before, Halloween Kills.
Oh God, that one's brilliant, too. Yeah.
With Judy Greer, I think her name is, the daughter who gets killed.
The daughter, right. Well, but, and then, right, the daughter, how Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie, right, how she treats her own daughter.
That's
a whole
what I think
thing.
That.
And then to come in and see how you treat your son, it's a whole different, two different levels of overprotectiveness, you know?
They said in one of the reviews, two toxic mothers.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think just to have them keep comparing you to her character and comparing you to Piper, Laurie, and Carrie, the reviewers just need to keep coming out with those comparisons, my friends, because that's terrific.
I love
just
your
terrific.
Saying that.
Now, how do you feel? Oh, it's so true. How do you feel about that genre? Like, if tomorrow somebody said, hey, I'm a director and this is my film and I loved you in Halloween Ends and I'm doing it, would you do it?
Yep. Because I now have an appreciation and understanding of how deep it can go, how interesting it can be, how much acting goes into it. You know, the gal who stars in Handmaid's Tale who did that movie Invisible, or Nicole Kidman, name of the place that I'm trying to think of, a quiet something. And then the Emily Blunt's movie with her husband, like, there's a lot of possibilities
in
this genre.
Yes, Nicole Kidman was the Others.
That's right.
The one where they lived in the house. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's done horror genre now, right? I mean, it's everybody. I mean, pretty much everybody. Every big
and it can be done in so many interesting ways.
Yeah. And there's so much to the genre. Like, everything we cover on this show, right? There's human horror, like Michael Myers. There's, although he is certainly, if you've watched all those films, a little supernatural too. There's, you know, ghosts, and there's extraterrestrials, and there's monsters, and there's so many different things, some interdimensionals or something that's almost like the Matrix where reality is not reality. Like, there's so many different things, and I think that it's interesting because, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, when the spiritualist movement became so big, a lot of it was because the Industrial Revolution took people out of their comfort zone. So they wanted to know, well, what's going on beyond the earth. And then when the 21st century hit and the technological age was taking everything over, I think people felt that it kind of awakened in people that thing again of, why are we here and what is this all about? And if you can send a message through energy to the internet, then what else could be going on that we don't know about? And it kind of sparked that again. And the last 20 some years, everything has been, so many things have become about. I mean, if you open up your a Roku or Amazon Fire Stick and you search for horror or science fiction, or I mean, it just never stops. And I think it's wonderful.
It's really kind of,
we need to always be asking those questions.
It's really an honor, a real honor to be part of something so epic. And it's really an education from the inside out, being an actor in it, to learn about it.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Really
yes.
Kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not just the genre, but that particular legacy of films, right, that are every one of them is so loved, especially the ones that Jamie Lee was in.
Well, she was a doll. She was an absolute doll.
Yeah.
She was very authentic. You felt her for real as she was doing it. You felt like, you know, wow, this is really happening. And I think she made everybody better that she acted with, because, you know, everybody, I mean, these actors are excellent, but everybody really got, you know, excited to work with her, thrilled to work with her, and they all got...
Yeah.
You know, the authentic commitment she had, the emotion she had.
Yeah.
It was
absolutely.
I remember that but when she came in, she talked before we did our scene, and she spoke about a beautiful poem that was very deep. And now looking back, I understand how that poem and that day must have felt to her, knowing that it was the end of a huge, epic journey from her youth to this point in her life.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And a beautiful actor's tale of someone who, you know, even though from a Hollywood family, was basically a teenager and did something
right.
That was basically a student film, like a
right.
student film that had been bumped
mm-hmm.
up a notch. With
mm-hmm.
an unknown director, and
mm-hmm.
then for both she and the director to be catapulted into superstardom because of the film, and not only that, but also in a brand new genre that people didn't really know much about. Nobody knew that kind of genre.
She definitely has an incredible, continued, you know, very expressive gratitude. She's definitely moved deeply. And says it
wonderful.
All the time, a love for the cast, a love for the crew, a love for the people she's working with, a love for the story, like a gratitude. She would say over and over again how she felt this gave her career. You know, it's very...
Yeah, it
you know,
did.
And then that girl, Kyle, who is on the Housewives
oh, yes.
show.
Yes, Kyle Richards.
You know,
yes, who's
yeah,
a child actor.
She was
uh-huh.
saying how she's known her for 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that they brought her back in the last few films. I love that.
It's kind of cool. But
yeah, it is, and people want to
really
see those
interesting
faces, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really wild to me is that boy who plays my son is really, he's really, I mean, it's kind of, her story and his story now. I mean, that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of epic. And he
I
was
agree.
Never introduced
100%.
Before.
Yeah. And well, and he
so,
again,
you know,
right, is going to have a beautiful career. He's going to, his phone's going to be ringing, and he's going to have a beautiful career.
His
so
his
what did,
show that he's on is the Hardy Boys. So that's quite
okay.
different.
All right.
So that's
yeah,
like
that's probably very popular too. Yeah,
it's a Canadian show, I think.
Yeah, I think it's it's mystery, right? Like the books, the Hardy Boy
yes.
books. So it's like a mystery every week. Uh huh.
But I think
it's
a sort good
of like
boy
a
kind of vibe.
Yes,
like a nice
exactly.
boy,
sure.
like Nancy Drew, only
they're
boy
good.
Style.
That's exactly right. Yes, they're good boys. Uh-huh. They're the heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And I also think it's for I don't know which network it's for, but I believe it's also very for all ages. I think it's
to appeal to
teens and tweens and kids, and it's nothing that's too graphic. Because sometimes TV now can be really intense, but I don't think it is. I think it's family friendly. So
this movie would scare people. In the movie theater, people were screaming.
I bet. No, I bet. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we were living in Baltimore at the time, and I don't know what I was seeing, Bad News Bears or something. We came out of the multiplex theater, and Friday the 13th was playing across the way, and people were literally coming out of the theater, throwing up and crying, like running to the bathroom, because it was the most horrifying thing ever. Now you watch a Friday the 13th movie, and you go, oh, my God, this is campy. But people change, right? Media affects us and influences us. So when
you're
people
such a brainiac.
Seen something like that before.
You're such a special person. You have such a great heart, and you have
such
a deep thinking mind.
Thank you.
And you're such a giver. You have so much beauty. It's unbelievable.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate
that. You've always been
like
that.
It's nice to spend time with you. Thank you.
You've always been
like
this. You've always been a really special person, a very unique and special and rare kind of person. You are.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate that. I was thrilled when I found out that was you, because I was like, oh, I'm going to get her on the show. And then out of the blue, your publicist contacted me.
I love it.
And I didn't even have to contact you. So it worked out perfectly. So tell me, what did Jamie Lee Curtis do when she realized it was you on the red carpet and not an interloper?
Well, she didn't realize it because she didn't really recognize me in the flurry of her responsibilities of doing press. So she kind of sort of side-looked at me, and then she moved on. But at the event, I was standing on the side, and she was standing taking pictures, and she then said, excuse me to those people, and walked right over to me with a tremendous amount of generosity and love and said, did you like it? Are you happy? In the most generous and kind way. Yep.
Isn't that beautiful?
She said.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah.
Well, she's a beautiful person, and she's very generous, and she's really very kind to people. And she's, you know, the kind of actor that wants you to do your best, too.
Right. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? You know, my best friend, her son is a historic reenactor, so he does everything, Revolutionary War, Civil War. And he consults on films. So he consulted on an episode of Family Tree, which was a series that Jamie Lee's husband, Christopher Guest, produced. And they did it here in Huntington Beach, where I grew up, because that's the park where they do their Civil War reenactment. And my best friend is a caterer, so she came down and catered the event. And Jamie Lee was there for the day. And honestly, Kelly says the most lovely person. Like, she took pictures with everybody. She was so gracious, so kind of just happy to be there on the set with everybody. She wasn't even in the project. She was just there
hanging out
with her husband and her friends that were in it. I love stories like that, because we grew up with all these stories of divas and, you know, angry starlets. And I think we need to more share the stories of people who are lovely and spread those stories, because sometimes the squeaky wheel gets all the grease, and it shouldn't be that way, right? The good people, the kind people should get all the attention.
It's kind of like, it's so easy to hold on to your negative review but not your positive. It's so easy for people to fall into their frustrations or their sadness.
Yes.
It's difficult for people to hold on to their blessings. You know, you almost have to remind yourself on a daily basis, you know, life isn't promised. This is another day that I get to be who I am, whether you have a job or you don't have a job, whether you book a job or don't. Whatever happens, you have this moment on earth, and most people forget that, including myself, until some tragedy occurs and you just say, oh, I'll be grateful if I just don't get sick or this or that. But yes, if we could remember the good people rather than get all the TMZ stories on the bad people, it would be great.
Yes, I agree. I agree. You are wonderful, my friend. Let's do this again. I want to hear
Absolutely.
When you go to your first convention about everything that happened.
Okay.
Where can people find you online? Where can people find you online, my friend? Where's the best place?
Well, you know, I don't know if it makes, You know, I'm on Instagram under my name, Joanne Barron.
Good.
And you'll see a picture of me
Good.
From the premiere, the pretty face, not the crazy mother face, but the pretty face.
Nice.
And I'm on Facebook under Joanne Barron. I'm on Twitter under Joanne Barron, so they can find me easily. And it'll say right off the bat, Halloween Ends, next to my name, so they'll know they have the right Joanne Barron.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. And I want you to text me when the fan letters start coming in, because I'm so excited
I will.
To hear what
and,
they're about.
And you are such a ray of light and love that I need to take you
Thank
to
you,
breakfast, lunch, or dinner, because what you
Let's
spread is goodness. Yep. You spread goodness on
that,
this planet.
Friend.
And you, we
we'll
need more of you.
You've got my number.
Okay.
Thank
okay,
you,
baby.
Sweetie. I'm,
Much love
I'm doing
this.
My best.
God bless you.
Everybody, the most wonderful Joanne Barron, what a joy to have her here on the show. And to have her, to get to share this big, exciting film that she's a part of, always such a joy and always wonderful to be here with people I love. That's the fun of the show, I believe, in general. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's my entertainment world and my spiritual world come together, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, and everywhere on social media, just at SheenaMetal. Until I see you next week on Haunted Playground, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network and iHeartRadio.com. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always work to raise your vibration, and remember that you are love and you are loved. And I love you, and I'll see you next time.